And we're back at it again, Behind the Beer, WNC. Firing it back up again here at the end of November, right before Turkey Day. This is a podcast where friends gather around a table about once a week. And we banter about a lot of things. Mostly it's high school football, but it could be anything. We've gone off the rails many times. But the intent of the podcast is for our entertainment. We hope you're entertained too. But if you're not, there are other options out there. And we know you guys can go find those. Joining me today, we're a little short-staffed today around the beard.
Like the playoffs. It's like the playoffs. We're losing people.
Indeed. I think Lewis and Carson had to go shave or something, shave their beards off. So they're not with us today. We've got Derek Green and Mike Anderson and me, Pat Pohl. And wow, we had an, I got to tell you, we had a good time. We froze our keisters off Friday night. But what a game between Christ School and Asheville. The Asheville school. That was fantastic.
It was a good game, and it was cold. I think Derek may have watched it on the stream.
Yeah. I got to check it out online, and I was a little busy for the first half, but I really watched the third and fourth quarter, and what a ball game. You know, it's a shame they were playing this late in the year, but Greenies pulled it out.
So Carson was mentioning the announcers. That they maybe didn't know football, but really like Christ School. I've never listened to them.
It was awesome. You know, I think that they've got kids that are interested in broadcast that are calling the game for them, and they didn't know a whole lot about what was going on. But man, did they love Christ School? That was evident. So it was awesome to kind of hear them, and you know, you could hear some adults in the background that were kind of guiding them through what exactly was going on the field. But it was cool to listen to. You know, like I said, their enthusiasm and love for Christ School was unmatched, and what a game!
Indeed, some good stuff in college and pros this weekend too. How about my Washington Commanders just sucking it up against their arch rivals, the Dallas Cowboys?
Huh? They tried to blow it.
Yeah.
They tried.
Yeah.
The Cowboys go down and score. Didn't they miss the extra point?
Yeah. And the Cowboys tried to give it to them. The football IQ level there at the end of the game from the Cowboys was not very good. When the guy runs the onside kick back into the end zone, if he just goes down, the game's over right there. Gives the Commanders another shot for a Hail Mary. And we all know, you know, Carson especially knows.
Yes, Carson's
about,
well aware.
You know, the Commanders' Hail Mary ability. So, you know, not a great football IQ move there by the Dallas Cowboys. But what a game there as well.
Yeah, indeed.
There were a few big dogs in the SEC that may have went down Saturday.
What's the SEC? I don't even know what that is. I've never turned off an Alabama football game in my life. But I turned that one off after the pick six on Saturday night and went to bed. I was pretty pissed, to be honest with you. But, you know, it's not a Nick Saban football team anymore, that's for sure.
No.
I watched the post-game interview with Lane Kiffin of Ole Miss. Oof.
They also lost.
Yeah, man, so yes.
He wears his emotions on his sleeve, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
I'm a Lane train guy. I like Lane a lot, but anytime you lose, especially in the SEC, you got to wear that one.
Do you think Lane Kiffin would have been a better fit at Alabama?
No. His brashness is a little bit too much for the Crimson Tide faithful.
The people in Knoxville love him.
Oh, yeah.
I think I said that before. I was in Knoxville in a hotel room on a field ride with one of the reps that I was working with when Lane Kiffin made the announcement he was leaving the Volunteers to go out to California and coach. And it was... dicey in Knoxville that night.
They wanted to kill him.
Oh, yeah. Man.
And then now they throw mustard bottles and golf balls at him whenever he shows up back in Neyland. So.
Did you see the App State folks throwing snowballs?
Yes, I did.
That's awesome.
I did.
Yes. Oh, yes. Well, you know, I talked with Travis a little bit about that today, and he brought up a great point. You know, there's snow. It's in the mountains, and you got a bunch of passionate, enthusiastic students and potentially some inebriation going on. Snowballs are going to form.
I'm sure there was no alcohol involved.
No, of course not.
Zero.
We saw the pictures of him with Jason Kelsey frequenting the tailgate.
That's Travis's brother.
Yeah, indeed.
The one not dating Taylor Swift.
Yes. Great weekend of football, no doubt.
It was a good weekend. So, guys, I don't know if you saw the announcement last week, but The NCHSAA has announced their ADMs and how they're going to split up the eight divisions.
Yeah.
8A we're going to.
I saw the text that you sent out about that. I was pretty amazed at some of the teams and where they were landing. So, yeah, I'm eager to have this banter.
So, let's around here, West North Carolina, there's no 8A teams. None. That's Charlotte-Mecklenburg.
Now, didn't you say, though, that was like the top 32 teams in the state or
it's
something?
It's the biggest 32.
Biggest 32, okay.
So then we got 7A. Only one 7A team, and unfortunately, that's McDowell.
Oh.
And that's going to be tough.
Yeah, they get screwed every year. And, you know, I'll talk about it a little bit later, but there's just no good fit for them. They're constantly going back and forth between Western North Carolina and then traveling down to kind of the Shelby, you know, Cleveland County, Gastonia area, and you know, there's just not a good fit for them.
Unfortunately, they're a 7A team that's about 4A good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's they got a tough row to hoe.
So next up, 6A. And this is exciting for me. In this area, 6A, we've got Watauga with 1,583 kids, TC 1,550, Asheville 1,529, and Reynolds 1,271. So that should ensure that TC, Asheville, Reynolds are all vying for the same playoff spot. So I think that is a win for West North Carolina.
Yeah, I think so. I think so too. But also at the same time, you know, those three 6A teams, you know, they're probably stuck in a split conference in this area. So they're not going to see 6A level competition until they get in the playoffs or, you know, in their non-conference schedule.
Any chance they bring Watauga to us?
You know, I was thinking about that the other day, and I was looking at some of the projections. And I really think that you got to send Watauga East to the South Caldwell area, you know, just kind of like it was, you know, back in the day. The
Northwestern.
The Northwest 4A, because, I mean, it's an hour and a half drive to Boone from Reynolds. And can you imagine doing that on a Tuesday, you know, if you're a volleyball player? I mean, I did it my freshman year of high school, and we were back. We were going to Alexander Central, South Caldwell.
You played volleyball?
Well, I was a baseball guy, but yeah, but I mean, it makes for some late nights, and for that reason, I think, you know, Watauga goes east, and I think, you know, you see the MAC stay as it is, for the most part, in 2025.
Yeah, some notable teams football wise in 6A: Charlotte Catholic, Dudley, Sun Valley, and Statesville. So there's some potent guys in there.
Indeed.
So then we have 5A, a lot of the Western North Carolina guys in 5A now. Inca, biggest 5A school around here at 1166. Irwin, number 2, 1082. West Henderson, North Henderson. Franklin, just over 1,000. North Buncombe, 997. Smoky Mountain, 994. So that's our 5A schools in this area.
You could make a conference out of that group right there. I mean, they're within driving distance, all of them. Franklin would be, what, the farthest drive out?
Yeah, Franklin, they're kind of like McDowell, where they're the ugly duckling out of the bunch, or the odd man out, so to speak, where, you know, there's just nobody around them comparable, with the exception of maybe the Smoky Mountain.
So notable in 5A, Hickory and Crest. There's a couple powerhouses. So 4A. 4A, East Henderson, 929. They're one of the top five biggest 4A teams. Pisgah, 852. Tuscola, 851. I always chuckle. They've been this way for a while. They're one student apart.
Wow. Pisgah, Tuscola. Wow.
RS Central at 843, and then Brevard, 798. There's your 4A teams.
Now, that's where Shelby is, too, correct?
Yes, yeah, Shelby, yeah. Also 4A.
And see, you know, I mean, you know, we sit here and we say 4A. It's big 2A, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're right where they need to be. You know, and you'll look at it and you'll say, yeah, well, Brevard's playing 4A. No, they're not. They're playing 2A ball. They're playing the same type of schools that they've been playing. You know, it just has a fancy name for it now.
Yeah, basically, if you look at it, back in the day when we split the 4As, we had 4AA and 4A.
Right.
Which one was bigger, AA?
Double A was bigger.
So then you had 3AA and 3A. And so basically, you look, they're playing 4A, yet they're playing big 2A.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally the exact same thing. The only thing now is, you know, you're subdivided for all the minor sports.
The sports other than football. Before it was just football, now it's everything.
Yep.
So 3A. We got Hendersonville, 789, Owens, 738, Polk, 660, Chase, 642, and Mount Heritage, 628. Mm. So tough row to hoe for Owen, I am afraid.
Yeah, yeah. And you see Mountain Heritage get the bump up from 1A to kind of that small 2A for the...
And I think they can compete there football. I don't know about the other sports, but in football, I think they can definitely compete. So that's, you know, Derek, how do you... We've talked a little bit. How do you see these conferences kind of shaking out? We got a couple different... what's the word I'm looking for?
Projections.
A couple different projections coming out from these different schools. And I pulled the high school overtime earlier today. You know, we use those guys a lot.
Yeah, they're good.
And they have a MAC conference with nine teams. Nine. Pat, that would be one non-conference game.
Wow.
So listen to this, MAC. This would be, it would be a split 7-6-5 conference. Mm. McDowell, TC, Asheville, Reynolds, Inca, Irwin, West, North, North Buncombe.
I hate that if I'm North Buncombe or North Henderson. You know, those five.
Or West Henderson.
Oh, yeah. West Henderson, even.
And you hate it if you want to schedule some non-conference games.
Yeah.
You get one.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it's great for those teams that really struggle to fill their schedule. But at the same time, you know, Reynolds, that's how their RPI gets so high, is they play these fantastic teams outside of the league, and they're tested. You know, I talked about it just a minute ago with those 6A teams only playing themselves. If you go to a nine-team league, they're playing, you know, no disrespect to North Buncombe and Inca, but they're playing that caliber of competition, you know.
All year.
Almost half the year. And it is really going to challenge them come playoff time.
So does McDowell make the playoffs no matter what? They're the only seven.
I think they would have to be like, you know, the above 500 rule. Is that the way the rule is? Maybe a little bit less, but.
So then they had the Mountain 7. It's a 5-4 split. Franklin, Smoky Mountain 5A, East Henderson, Pisgah, Tuscola, RS Central, and Brevard. So that would be an interesting conference.
Yeah, I think you could see those that Franklin Smoky Mountain and take some of those bottom teams off of that 5A, you know, that we had just a minute ago, and maybe have a league there and just have a smaller 4A league.
Yeah, and then their projections for it's a 3-2 split. Hendersonville, Owen, Polk, Madison are the 3A, and then Avery Mitchell 2A. To me, that's a lot of splitting. Here's what I got. Derek has some other opinions. Here's what I have. You can do a 7-6 split and have a four-team conference, McDowell, TC, Asheville, Reynolds. Now, that makes scheduling tough because you're going to have a lot more non-conference games than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But that puts your big four teams from West North Carolina. Then you take your fives. You got Inca, Irwin, West, North, North Buncombe, Franklin and Smoky Mountain, of course, North Henderson and North Buncombe. Franklin, Smoky Mountain. That's a 7-team. That's the Mountain 7, but it's all 5A. And then you take your 4A guys, East Henderson, Pisgah, Tuscola, RS Central, and Brevard. That's a 5-team league, and they're all 4A. You have to add an extra conference. You're going to have to do some switching around, but at least you're not having so many split. The split conferences, it's no good for anybody.
No, it's not. And unfortunately, you know, when you went to when they decided to go to this 8A system, it's created an entirely new monster of split conferences. Okay, well, how are you going to handle playoff berths, and how are you going to handle the automatic bids? And, you know, I like the 5-team suggestion, you know, with McDowell and then the 6A.
Maybe
guys.
Even add Watauga. You could go Watauga, McDowell.
Yeah, you could.
TC, Asheville, Reynolds.
So, you know, that's definitely a possibility. I think the high school OT did an article probably 3 or 4 weeks ago about, did you read it, the most difficult teams to place? And unfortunately, I mean, the entire state is just so geographically diverse, and it takes an hour. You know, whereas the crow flies, it's only 30 minutes. But, you know, these teams are having to drive these windy mountain roads, especially around here. And it just makes travel an absolute nightmare.
Yeah, there is no easy way to Boone.
No, there isn't.
No, you got Watauga, who, I mean, they're almost to Virginia. And you got Franklin almost to Georgia.
Yep.
I mean, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough.
And, you know, I like the 8A, and at the same time, I don't. Because, you know, they should have just said, okay, I'm going to keep you 4A. You know, and then we'll subdivide everything. And I think that would have, you know, kind of eased the conference realignment a little bit easier.
Something I don't want to hear is ADs complaining about far bus rides when they're going to schedule teams from Winston-Salem anyway.
Right. And they voted for this. Right. They are the ones that voted for the 8A system. The ADs did. And then the individual schools and their member vote. So, you know, it's the nature of the beast now. So hopefully the state will help them with some travel cost.
They're going to have to announce it pretty quick because coaches got to get the scheduling for football.
Yeah.
And they're saying we may not hear anything till well after the first of the year.
Yeah. And I know Coach Law's always kind of like to get a jump on it with scheduling. And you kind of, you know, in the back of your head who's going to play when. And we're on a 2-year contract in North Carolina. And it's not like we're, I think we're off 1 year from South Carolina. So you can't go down to, you know, the upstate and say, hey, Gaffney, come play me. Because they've already got their schedule filled out for 2025. So you are literally stuck playing North Carolina teams if you're a big school like Asheville or Reynolds and want to, you know, schedule some tough opponents.
You know who is available?
Christ School.
Some private schools could be available to play.
That's what I hear.
That are in the area.
They are, but
I know you prefer to play Raven Gap in Georgia, but well, there's some around here.
You know, we talk about that a lot, but I don't see Christ School ever getting on a MAC schedule.
I don't either. What are you looking at for conference wise?
Yeah, I think you know the ACT did put out one that I think, you know, was pretty decent, where they had. They had McDowell going east. They didn't even include them. And then they went with the traditional MAC that was, correct me if I'm wrong, the 2 or 3 years ago, the previous realignment before this.
With one. West.
Yeah, and it was the previous MAC without Tuscola. That was the only one that dropped.
You want to keep Tuscola, in my opinion, it's a plus to keep Tuscola Pisgah in the same conference.
It is.
It's a plus to keep Reynolds, Asheville, TC in the same conference.
And yeah. I think one thing that you're going to have to see is if, you know, we go to that model that you mentioned just a minute ago, Mike, is you're going to have to see some of these county schools. There's going to have to be an agreement there that these county schools or these local schools are going to have to play one another simply to fill out the schedule, because some teams are not going to have enough guys to, or not have enough teams interested in playing them to be able to fill out a schedule.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but there's some county schools that will probably not play Reynolds, that will play Asheville, and will probably not play TC. Yeah,
there's one in particular that will not play any of those, and I'll let you, you know, be the one
which is unfortunate.
It is, and you know, if I'm them, I'm not one to play them either. I mean, you gain nothing, and the big schools gain nothing by playing it either. You know, I think the last year we played that particular school, it was, you know, it wasn't fun for either of us. But it is what it is.
Yeah, I still think we need to have the Western North Carolina.
The All-Star game.
Well, not the All-Star game. What we talked about it several weeks ago, where we took like the top eight and made like a playoff.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Like preseason. That'd be pretty fun.
That would be really cool.
Pat, what do you think about all this?
Yeah, it's interesting. This is all really kind of foreign thing to me with these split conferences and jockeying around. And I know the battle's moving up and down, and you know, how are you playing chess with your enrollment rates to, you know, set yourself up as a school and a team long term for success? And there's a lot of variables in this that, you know, people are going to have to deal with the stuff they can't control, and whatever they can control, they're going to have to try manipulate and do the best they can to leverage it to their advantage. So, I'm of the opinion that the that massive conference that you were alluding to, that the high school OT was talking about, you will gravitate toward the level of play that you primarily play. So to Derek's point about how Reynolds or Asheville likes to schedule those teams in the off season, that really does. In the brief time I've been watching, that has been a difference maker in those teams' effectiveness in the postseason. You eliminate that, and everybody's gravitating to the same kind of play. You're literally going to get what Mike has called many times mountain ball, and what Chris St. Ange always refers to as, what does he call it, around here good, but yeah, not really, really good. So yeah. I don't know that I'd be a fan of that size conference and not enough out of conference play.
I agree.
I think, you know, if you're 6A, TC and Asheville, they're good. TC's happy they're not seven.
Yes.
They're not far from it. Reynolds probably not happy. They're one of the smallest 6A schools.
Yeah, and when I was coaching, we were always on the line of that big 3A or little 3A. So, you know, there's beasts in both
sure.
know, 6 and 5. But, you know, you always kind of want to go towards the smaller end.
You want to be the big fish in the small pond. Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, that's what everybody wants. But, you know.
If you're the local 5A schools, Irwin's got to be happy. They don't have to take that. They don't have to win their portion of the conference. They don't have to beat Reynolds, Asheville, Tuscola,
yep.
McDowell, none of those guys.
Yep. They are sitting pretty. You know, they got to beat West Henderson.
West.
And that's probably it.
And listen, Smoky Mountain.
Smoky.
They're a scrappy team.
They are. And
so anyway, that's our 8A conversation for this week.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see. They gotta come up with those conferences sooner rather than later because everybody's got to make a schedule for next year.
Yeah, I think
not only conference, but you got to do your non-conference, and the phones will be burning up once they let that out.
It will be hot. It'll be interesting to see how that cookie crumbles.
So quick question for you both, and this is just an opinion question. We've talked about before that almost all the high school coaches in the MAC, other than Coach Radford, are eligible for retirement. Do we lose any coaches this year?
Oof.
I don't know. You know, I've kept my ear to the ground a little bit, and, you know, you hear some things, but until it happens, I won't believe any of them.
Pat?
Like I've said before, I know literally nothing. I don't hear anything. Nobody calls me. Nobody texts me. I got nothing. You guys are wired in with more juice than I am on that stuff. But I'll harken back to those earlier interviews. I remember we were talking with some of those coaches before this past season. And the gentleman from West Henderson, who's just been here forever and ever and ever. You know, he's not going anywhere. I mean,
he's
going to ride it out at West Henderson until he's done teaching and done coaching. That was clear. You know, but like you take a look at a Coach Pruitt. He's been around, like he said, forever and ever. He's on a high right now. He's rolling with a good team. I don't know. I don't think he's folding it up anytime soon.
Did you see he's shaving his beard for the first time in like 10 years or something?
I saw that. Yeah, I read that.
So now that he told his players, you get to the third round of the playoffs, I'll shave my beard. Well, he's going to keep it till they lose. But,
yeah,
I mean, that's a big old – I mean, I used to have one of those kind of big old beards.
It's long.
Yeah.
It's long.
He's worked on that one a little while.
Yeah, when you shave it, it's weird. But, I mean, it'll come back, maybe.
Maybe a few more gray whiskers in it.
As you age, they say it's either going to turn gray or turn loose. So
yeah, mine's definitely – my beard is a little more gray. It's red and gray. Pat, all gray.
All gray. I'm silver-backed.
Derek,
It'll be gray here before long. I got a little girl coming.
That's right. So let's talk about last week and our picks. We were all pretty close. Mike and Lewis get the win, 4-2. Carson, Derek, and Pat, all 3-3. So we were all right there. Overall, I'm in the lead with a 54-43. Two games back is Derek at 52-45. Pat's right there with him. And then Lewis at 51-46. Carson still in last, guys. Still in last. 50-47. He's not real good at making picks.
No, but you know, he's climbing. He's charging for that wire, like I said last week.
He's coming.
He's coming on. He's gonna get Lewis. He may not catch us, but he may not be at the bottom. So are we saying that we're making Carson buy us all dinner? Is that the deal?
Yes. Whoever finishes last has to buy us all dinner.
Oh, no. Let's just make Carson buy us dinner.
Okay. Carson is buying us dinner. You good with that, Derek?
I'm good with that. 100%.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about last. We talked about the picks. Let's talk about last week. I want to talk about a game that we did not put on our pick sheet to start. And, Derek, that's East Rutherfordton and Reidsville.
What a shocker there.
Yeah. That was...
How many years in a row has Reidsville won state championship? I know they won last year.
Yeah, I want to say it's been at least three or four. They've made it to the game at least, you know, the last 5-6 years, made it to the big one.
So they were 11-0 coming in. They got the 5-star that's going.
I don't think he's committed anywhere, but the big tight end.
Yeah, he came back from Providence Day.
He's back. Kendre Harrison.
There you go. Yeah.
They've got the stud quarterback that's got basketball offers and Division I football offers. I mean, they're just loaded with dudes that can go.
And they lose. No stats for Reidsville, but I want to give you some stats for East Rutherford. Their quarterback, Landon Flynn, well, he was 1 of 6 for 17 yards and an interception. Oof. Not a big day.
No.
Not a big day. But running backs, Blake McClellan, 22 carries for 136 yards and a TD. And then the other running back, Pinkerton, 37 carries, 186 yards and 2 TDs. As a team, they rushed for 346 yards.
They did some running.
Reidsville not able to stop the run.
Yeah, and that's kind of been a trend, you know, in these playoffs. Is everybody loves a good high flying offense, but when your best defense is a good running game, and they can't stop the run, it's demoralizing. And obviously, it's a formula for success late in the season. And
that offensive line clearly opening some holes there for those running backs. So,
Derek, we were talking about East Rutherford earlier. I mean, they didn't have a team.
No, 2021, they did not have a varsity football team.
Wow.
And to turn it around in, you know, 2 years and beat the number one team in the state, the consensus number one team in the state in 2A is an accomplishment.
I mean, I'd have never guessed.
Never.
No, that's why I wasn't on the picture.
I would have guessed running clock.
Yep.
East Rutherford kind of in our area. Why don't they just call them Forest City? Why has it got to be?
Might as well. You know, Rutherford County's a beast of its own. You know, you got several schools there. And then if they can keep their homegrown talent in Rutherford County, don't let them go to Shelby. Don't let them go to Crest. And then don't let them go to the hot school and just keep the guys that you got in your area. You know, they got a chance to be special down there.
Yeah, I agree. So next up, this one was on the pick sheet. This is the Asheville School Christ School game. Pat and Lewis and I were at this game.
Freezing to death.
It was not as, I'll be honest with you, it was not as cold as I thought it was going to be.
Well, you may have had a little warming fluid in your system that helped you a little
you
bit.
You told there. Me that would cause hypothermia.
Yes.
I did not freeze to death. I don't know. I was okay.
Well, it was plenty cold.
So Christ School gets the win, as we talked about before, 26-25 in overtime. Here for a minute, I didn't think anybody wanted to win this game. We had Christ School had their all-state kicker miss an extra point.
Yes.
He has not missed an extra point all year. Some interesting choices. Let me give you a few stats. For Asheville School, Ricky Tolbert was 8 of 16 for 80 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He ran it 17 times for 108 yards, and on the ground they were led by, other than Ricky, they were led by Shiloh McKendy, 8 carries, 47 yards. For Christ School, they were led by Mason Holtzclaw, 5 of 7 for 77 yards and a touchdown. Jackson Cancel, 30 carries, 211 yards, and 3 touchdowns. He had 2 catches for 14 yards. And then there's Cash Freeman.
That was fantastic.
Cash Freeman is an offensive guard. He's also a defensive lineman.
And he looks the part.
He does. He looks like an offensive guard. Cash will play D1 football. He's already has some interest. He's a sophomore. He was 1 of 1 for 34 yards throwing the ball and 3 carries for 11 and a touchdown. On the throw, dude drops back. He doesn't even look like he's interested. Then all of a sudden, he just hurls it into double coverage.
Yeah, but he led the receiver. It was beautiful.
Led the receiver. Receiver catches it. I went back and watched the play. He did go down on the one, but it looked like a touchdown at the time. But, I mean, what a throw by your offensive guard.
He put it only where the receiver could catch it. You talked about the double coverage. He had the double coverage, but they were not able to be anywhere in position to stop that pass because the way Cash threw that ball, there was only one person that could come down with it.
Guess how many passes Cash has thrown this year?
I have no idea.
That would be one. The other one. So they had a package for him. It's kind of like a razor package back in the day, a big guy package. He's going to come in and run the ball. He's an athletic guy. We talked about him earlier in the year, pulling and knocking somebody out. I mean, he's the real deal. So they had a big package for him where he's going to run the ball. And they brought everybody in, and he threw it.
Yeah.
And they didn't play with a safety deep all night long.
No, from what I watched in the second half, everybody was within 8 yards of the ball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you just
still couldn't stop Cancel. No. 211 yards.
Could not. Yeah. No,
he was a beast.
I kept waiting for him to go play action and take the top off. And
we didn't really play action.
No, yeah. and then you know, here comes the big man. And you know, I'm sitting here waiting on him to just get everything, get all that almost 300 pounds going downhill. And he just drops back. And as the kids are saying today, he threw a dot. And
he did. So just a little backstory. We came out the first play of the game, Cassius, the quarterback. Mm. And he cracked his ribs on the first play.
Oh, wow.
So he played the rest of the game with cracked ribs.
Yeah, I noticed he was moving a little ginger.
Yeah, yeah, cracked ribs, first play. He played the whole game.
Yeah.
Listen, it's still a big deal for Asheville School and Christ School to beat each other. They still hate each other.
Yeah,
they
do. Oh, yeah.
You could tell after the game. I mean, Asheville School guys throwing their helmets down. I mean, they're mad.
Yeah.
They want to win this game. There's kids that have been there for 4 years. They've never beat Christ School.
Nope.
13 years in a row now, Christ School has won. And this was probably their best. This was probably Asheville School's best chance in a while.
Yeah. And it will be their best chance for the foreseeable future, too.
So
unless they go recruit some more.
I noticed some things watching the game. Christ School was their own worst enemy, I thought, in that first half. But
that's
in the second
year.
Half, your point about Cancel, he really ran well. And
he runs hard. Real big.
There was a key drive there in the second half where Cancel gets the ball, goes up the middle. He goes for 20 to get that first down behind the sticks. He went right off Luke's block. You know that, don't you? Luke Anderson set the block on that.
Yeah, so Luke and I watched the film, our last film together. Luke decided he decided a couple years ago, this is it for him. He's just playing high school football. He's done. He does not want to do anything else. And, yes, he played well. He's played well all year, all conference. And I'm just very glad he has played all these years, no major injuries.
Yeah.
The worst he's done is a dislocated finger. I can live with that. I mean, very fortunate. No knee injuries, no elbow injuries. Able to stay healthy. He played all but two snaps on offense this year, and that was in a blowout. They brought somebody else in, and then he's played a few snaps on defense. Yes, Luke's played well, and he played all year. I'm glad to see it.
Yeah. And then, you know, you talked about Ricky on the other side of the ball as a quarterback for Asheville School, and he didn't have bad stats as part of the game as a whole. But one thing that was glaringly obvious to me, it was the second half, specifically the fourth quarter, that he came alive and was able to start connecting on those passes downfield. In the first half, it didn't seem like they could connect. The defense stepped in and got two interceptions on two key drives to stop Asheville School. And then it almost like it had flipped a little bit there in the second half. And it was a ball game there at the end.
Ricky's definitely more of a running quarterback than a throwing quarterback, at least against Christ School. When they spread it all out and put everybody wide, he's by himself. He's running. There's no doubt about it. He's running. And if he is throwing, he's only looking for one, two, and he's gone. He does not want to throw it in those situations, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a lot of quick game. A lot of quick game, a little RPO, maybe bubble screen or quarterback draw. And there we go.
But fortunately, you guys did not jinx Christ School. We all got this one right. That's right. Christ School wins.
We tried to jinx it, especially when your kicker missed the extra point. I look back at you and the thing, like, you know, they got enough. Ricky's got enough time to get down here and get the field goal.
And he did.
They got that, kicked the field goal. That late hit out of bounds that got the extra 15 yards added on.
So dumb.
And then the
quarterback's running out of bounds, and the Christ School kid, you know. I don't know.
Yeah,
he's a yard out of bounds and he's diving at his legs. Why? He's running out of bounds. Let him run out of bounds. You know, Christ School misses an extra point. Asheville School gets one blocked. I mean, it's
it all came out in the wash.
It was a wild game. Yeah. It was wild.
I told Luke this too and Mike earlier. That's something I realized Friday night when we were hanging out having a beer afterwards.
Luke was not having a beer.
No, Luke was not. But Luke got to finish his career with a win.
Yep.
And that's rarefied air. When you think about a senior in football, most of those guys are finishing their careers on a loss, yep. unless they're one of the teams that makes a state championship.
Right.
So, and he was able to finish out. I guess the other option would be is if you didn't make the playoffs, but you won your last game. I guess that would work too. But yeah,
I think I'd rather lose my last one in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, go out a winner at the.
At least you beat your
making it.
You beat your rival, and
good way to go out.
You let up, you know, you're not part of the class that lost to Asheville School after 12 years. You make it 13.
Yeah.
So I know we spent a lot of time on that game. Next up, North Lincoln at West. Carson, the only one to get this one right. West loses 54-21.
I think it's flipped. I think we all got it right and Carson got it wrong.
Is that right?
I think so.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty darn.
I was thinking West didn't cover. Did they cover?
Did they cover?
I don't think they did cover.
No. North Lincoln.
Okay. So we all got it right. Carson got it
wrong. Carson picked the Falcons. And the Falcons.
Okay. So West Henderson was a 14.5-point underdog. North Lincoln wins 54-21. Yes, you're right, because we talked about East Lincoln could run the football and West couldn't stop it.
That's right.
Yep.
Thank you, Derek.
You're welcome.
Carson, suck it easy. So for North Lincoln, quarterback Eli Sipe, listen to these stats. I know you're an offensive guy.
Let's do it.
He was 1 of 2 for 9 yards.
Hey, scored 54 points.
As a team, they had 404 yards rushing. They were led by Shannon Wingate, 17 carries, 111 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And their other running back, Landon Agee, 7 carries, 124 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So they were able to run the ball just very similar to what Smoky Mountain did a couple weeks ago. For West Henderson, Cade Young, he did all he could, 15 of 23, 193 yards, 2 touchdowns. He also rushed it 7 times for 48 yards. Running back Isaiah Cash, 6 carries, 147 yards, and a touchdown.
Got to get that guy the ball more.
So that's what happened there. West Lincoln wins and covers.
Yep.
So next up, Smoky Mountain at Irwin. I think I'm correct. Pat Lewis, Mike Derrick get this one right.
We did.
Carson missed it. Irwin gets the win 35-14. They were a 10.5-point favorite. For Irwin, they were led by, of course, quarterback Cade Engel, 15 of 20, 195, 2 touchdowns. They only rushed it for 51 yards as a team.
They only had 39 snaps.
You're right.
I mean,
Michael Petty, 8 catches for 117 yards. He also had a 82-yard kick return for a touchdown. Lawson Reynolds, 6 catches for 71 yards and 2 touchdowns. Like Derek just mentioned, 9 offensive plays in the first half to Smoky Mountain's 37.
See.
9-37.
And still went into the half leading, if I recall correctly.
You're correct. For Smoky Mountain, senior quarterback Jones was 8 of 15 for 102 and a touchdown. He, as a team, they rushed for 140. Irwin able to hold Aiden Johnson, 25 carries, 96 yards. That's an average of 3.8 yards a carry. We talk about Irwin's defense, but it looks like they showed up here on stopping the run. Smoky Mountain, 0 of 5 on third down and 1 of 2 on fourth down.
Got to get off the field on third down in the playoffs and, don't let, especially a running team like Smoky Mountain, because they'll chew up that clock. Because very well, if they don't get off the field there, those 39 plays turns into 25 plays. And you're just sitting there with your hands sitting on your hands as an offense. And it's hard to score, you know. It's hard to score in the playoffs, especially when you only get, less than 40 snaps. And so kudos to them for getting off the field on third down and playing some complimentary football.
What about Coach Pruitt sending us some stats this week?
Man, that drive chart was a thing of beauty.
Man.
Coach Pruitt.
Was that fantastic?
Yeah, I love that. Keep sending it to us, brother.
Pat, Irwin, what do you think?
I'm a fan. Let's go, Irwin. I'm not going to get the tattoo yet because I'm a blank canvas.
But well, Mike's got it. I know it on you've already back. Got it. Yeah, right on the back. Mm-hmm. 2024 conference champs.
So next up, we had Brevard at Bunker Hill. Bunker Hill, the home underdog, getting 12.5. Brevard gets the win, 37-29. Not able to cover. Brevard does get the win. For Brevard, running back Braden Thompson, 20 carries, 144 yards, and 2 touchdowns. As a team, they rushed it for 250 yards. Coleman Smith had 20 tackles for Brevard. For Bunker Hill, Listen, they were leading 8-7 at half. Quarterback Eli Davis Helms was 21 of 36 for 303 yards and an interception. He also rushed it five times for 20 yards. Running back Jason Willis, 11 carries, 97 yards, and a touchdown. Bunker Hill had 530 yards of offense, but not able to get the win. Pat, what do you think?
They weren't able to get the win.
They were not. None of us. Didn't we all have Brevard in this one?
We sure did. And, you know, I was looking at the score stream, and it was 37-15 there for a long time into the late into the third and early into the fourth. And then, unfortunately, some garbage time, two scores, backdoor cover.
So next up, this game is played on Saturday, Hayesville at Mount Heritage. Mount Heritage, a 48.5-point favorite. Unfortunately, they give up a touchdown late.
Yes.
Mount Heritage wins 51-7.
And allowed Carson to get the W on that one.
Yes, because Hayesville does cover here.
They were a good team.
Great teams cover.
Hayesville, the great team. Listen, no stats on this game. I'd love to tell you about all the Mount Heritage running yards. I checked right before we started recording. Nothing.
Yeah, they probably ran for about 600. So
I would say yes.
Yeah.
Their quarterback probably had 400 yards rushing and 8 yards passing.
Handed that thing off like a beauty all night long.
So next up, tough night in Rocket Country. Reynolds comes in. They head to Dudley. Dudley, a 17.5-point favorite. Dudley wins 42-0. They had 414 total yards of offense. Dudley did. They had two quarterbacks throw for two touchdowns. And on the offensive line, they had 9 pancake blocks. So no stats on this game for either team. Dudley takes care of business.
Yeah, Reynolds just firing with no bullets. You know, everybody's hurt or has left. And, you know, I kind of talked about it last week where, you know, Dudley's strength schedule wasn't the best. But Dudley's still Dudley, regardless of who they play.
You watch film on Dudley, they're the real deal.
They're freaky. Yeah, they're freaky. They would scare me if I was somebody that had to play them moving forward.
I have a little bit of a funny story to tell you. I told Pat this earlier. There's a local restaurant that puts on there, guess a team score.
Yeah, guess a team score.
Yeah.
I guess Dudley 42, Reynolds nothing.
Did you get your free food?
So, yeah, I won a free meal.
Yeah.
But I got a bunch of hate with it. Hey, you forgot where you're from. You're a Reynolds hater. No, I did my homework and got the score correct.
That's free food.
I mean, yeah. I got it correct. I didn't miss it by 1 point. I got it correct. I don't hate Reynolds. I would love to see Reynolds win and move to the next round. If you listen to this podcast, you can say I don't hate Reynolds.
I would agree.
But I am a realist, and Dudley's a really good team, and Reynolds has lost their best running back, their quarterback, and one of their best defensive guys.
Yep.
Playing against a very good Dudley team who has only given up how many points all year?
13 on defense.
13?
15 altogether.
And they lost Cavalli after the storm, too.
Yes, you're right. They've given up 13 all year, and you've lost your receiver, your running back who's going to App, your quarterback transferred out, and you lost. You want me to guess you're going to win? Yeah. No, you're not going to win. You're going to get smoked because all your guys are gone. They're hurt.
Yeah, I don't
hate you.
No, it's.
I'm a realist.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't like it, you know, you don't have to listen. But, you know, I mean, kudos to you for getting your free food.
I do get free food.
Grocery prices and restaurant prices are at an all time high. Mike's just grinding to get a free lunch.
Man.
Unfortunate. Sorry to the Rockets for finishing the season this way. But there's always next year, baby. We'll fire it back up in Rocket Country.
Yeah, the Rockets don't rebuild, right, Derek? They just reload.
They reload.
Yep. They reload. So that was last week. Player of the game. We took a vote. Derek, who's our player of the game?
Yeah. So we kind of touched on him a little bit earlier, but the Behind the Beard player of the week for week two of the playoffs is going to be
week three, right? It's the third round of the playoffs.
This is the third round.
Upcoming third.
Yeah, upcoming. Okay, you're
so
right.
For week two of the playoffs, we've got the Irwin wide receiver, Michael Petty. Again, he was 8 catches, 117 yards. And so 8 out of 39 plays went to Mr. Petty, and he made the most of it. Had a 82-yard kick return on for a touchdown. So your playoff round two player of the week, Michael Petty. Congratulations, bud.
Michael Petty. You think he's related to Richard?
I doubt it.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, I don't think so. But you know, I've talked about those Irwin skill guys for you know a few weeks now, and the four of them can go. They got a good chance.
If you're Coach Brooke, you're very happy that quarterback is only a sophomore.
Oh man, yeah. I mean, just the leaps and bounds that he's made in 1 year.
Yeah.
And to me, you know, as a coach, the biggest progression is always that sophomore to junior year. So for him to make that leap from a freshman to sophomore, it makes you so hopeful for the jump that he's going to make as a junior. So we'll see. Time will tell.
What did Irwin finish at last year? Do you remember?
Ooh, I want to say they won 4 or 5 games at the most. I may be wrong. Let's
just keep talking. They were 4-7 last year, 3-3 in the conference.
Yeah, and you know, anytime you play a freshman quarterback or a young quarterback, you're going to take your lumps. I mean, nobody hand up over here. It's hard.
They made the playoffs.
Yeah,
they lost to West 61-15 in the first round.
Yeah, I mean it's hard, and you're going to make some mistakes, but the growth that you see from it, you know, you hope pays off in the long run.
It has.
We have seen in this area over the years, Irwin will have a good year here and there. Do you think Irwin has built something that can last for a couple of years?
I think so. You know, I mean, it's all about retention. You know, can they keep their guys? And, you know, there's so much movement in the county now. But I think, you know, when you have a good quarterback, and, you know, they're not going out and recruiting. Nobody in the area is going out and saying, hey, come here, you know. But when you have a guy like Engel, that attracts people to you. And the type of offense that they're running, I mean, good players come to those players, you know. So I think Irwin definitely has a potential to be really good and be, you know, favorites to dominate in the 5A ranks for the next 2 or 3 years.
If you're a fantastic receiver and you're at a school that doesn't have a great quarterback, I mean, why would you not want to transfer?
Yeah, there? I'm out the door.
So that's just the way it is these days. So let's talk about this week. We have 5 games we're going to talk about. One of them, a couple teams we don't normally talk about, but I'll be honest with you, I thought it was a good game and I want to talk about it. So we're going to start with East Wilkes. They're 10-2, 4-2 in their conference at Mount Heritage. Mount Heritage undefeated. Mount Heritage a 32.5-point favorite. For East Wilkes, their quarterback, Blackburn, he averages 31 yards a game through the air, 6 TDs and 2 interceptions. He also rushes it for 68 yards a game. As a team, they rush for 215. Their defense has 16 interceptions in 12 games. So pretty good defense. Derek, do you think Mount Heritage wins and covers by 32.5 here?
I do not. I think Mount Heritage wins, but there's a game on East Wilkes' schedule that kind of throws a little caution to the
give it to
here.
Me. Which one?
I'm thinking Mount Airy. You know, they lost 28-13, but Mount Airy is the cream of the crop, defending state champion. I think Mount Heritage does win, but I think it's a lot closer than 32.5.
Who did Lewis pick? You have Lewis's picks.
Lewis picked Mountain Heritage. Lewis thinks Mountain Heritage is going to just pound the rock and show them mountain football.
I like how you're speaking for Lewis. Pat?
So I was up in Burnsville today working, seeing, you know, my doc's offices and talking with people. And Mountain Heritage is going to come in here and just knock this out of the park. They're playing. It's, you know, remember last year we talked about how Pisgah was playing inspired ball with the play yes. closing. The devastation up there, if y'all haven't been up there in Spruce Pine, Burnsville area, is, I mean, still jaw-dropping. And this community is all around this Mountain Heritage thing, and it is, I mean, it's inspired stuff. I think you brought up, it's literally a movie script writing itself up there, and they're rolling. I have no doubt they're going to get this done and keep the pedal down.
So you're saying Mount Heritage?
Yes. I think.
Who did Lewis pick? I mean, Carson. Who did Carson pick?
Carson's trying to pick up a game. He's going to go with East Wilkes.
I am also going.
But he did say that he's just going to pick them that win outright. I'm kidding. He didn't say that.
I'm also. Listen, East Wilkes is a pretty good team. They're 10-2. They're 4-2 overall. I mean, 10-2 overall, 4-2 in the conference. I don't think Mount Heritage covers. They haven't covered the last couple weeks. They win this game. They win this game.
Yeah.
East Wilkes covers. I'm taking East Wilkes. So next up, Far West, Robbinsville, 7-6. They're in the third round of the playoffs against Murphy, 11-1 over and all. For Robbinsville, these teams played on October 11th. Did you guys know that?
I did know that.
Murphy won 14-7. Murphy, an 11.5-point favorite here. Makes me a little nervous. I mean, they only won by 7 last time. For Robbinsville, they're led by Bryce Adams. In the last game they played against Murphy, he had 2 interceptions, but he rushed it for 67 yards, and he blocked a field goal. For Murphy, last time against Robbinsville, Cameron Clem, 23 carries, sophomore running back, 23 carries and 103 yards. As a team, they rushed it for 166. Their quarterback also threw 2 interceptions, but he had 91 yards and a touchdown as well. Robbinsville has won 5 of their last 6, and their only loss, TC, 24-0. Pat, Robbinsville, they're rolling here. Are they going to win? Are they going to cover? What are you thinking here?
I think Murphy's going to get this done. They're going to cover.
Murphy, that's who you're going with.
That's what I'm going with.
What about your boy Carson?
Well, my boy Carson would like to take Robbinsville.
Okay.
I have no idea why. He didn't make any note about that.
So 7-point favorite. I'm sorry, 11.5-point favorite for Murphy. They only won by 7 last time. Robbinsville's rolling. They've been here before. I'm taking Robbinsville as well. Derek?
Yeah, so I got to echo Mike here. You know, I am 2 games back of Mike's, and I'm running out of games to make up a ground. But I am a man of integrity, and I'm going to tell you what I think. It's so hard to beat a team twice. I really look for Robbinsville to potentially win outright on Friday night.
Whoa.
Yeah. There you go.
What about your boy Lewis?
Lewis, who is, you know, as,
he's a Robbinsville
guy. As we all know, you know, I don't think I have to announce this pick. I think we all know who he's taken, but I will announce just for, like I said, for I am a man of integrity, and I know Lewis is as well. Lewis is taking Robbinsville.
I'm shocked.
Lewis says Robbinsville by a million.
Yeah.
Pat taking the only one taking Murphy. Thanks for saving the sheet.
I'll get a game on you guys this time.
So next up, for me, this is a very intriguing ball game. Crest 10-2 overall, taking on Hickory 12-0 overall. Of course, Hickory 3A state champions last year. For Hickory, they beat Statesville last week 42-7, and in that game, quarterback Brady Stober 17 of 18. For 209 yards and 4 touchdowns. Running back Isaiah Lackley, well, he had 24 carries, 108 yards and a touchdown. And wide receiver Little, 4 carries, 79 yards, 4 catches, 79 yards and 2 touchdowns. For Crest, they beat Oak Grove 35-7. Eli Hemrick had probably one of his best games all year, 16 of 21 for 265 yards and a touchdown. He also rushed it 14 times for 38 yards and 2 touchdowns. Wide receiver Mike Edwards, 4 catches for 90 yards. Gentlemen, Hickory's a 9.5-point favorite. Crest, a traditional powerhouse. I'll go first on this one. And I think Crest wins this game. I think the addition of Eli Hamrick gives them the ability to throw the football. And I think they beat Hickory. I think they upset Hickory here. Crest strength of schedule, 73. Hickory, 181. I'm taking Crest. Pat?
No, Mike, I'm not taking Crest. Hickory is the real deal. They're going to be there in the end.
What
it's
about your ticker. Boy? Who'd he take?
Who did my boy take? My boy Carson is going to go with Crest. He'll join you on that bus.
Who'd Lewis think?
Lewis said that Hickory is going all the way.
You can break the tie here.
Yeah, I'm also going to ride with Pat and with Lewis. I think yes, this is it makes me uneasy, but you know you got to at this point in the playoffs, anybody can win it all right here. You're playing good people, and I just think Hickory's been there, done that. And I think Hickory gets it done.
Hickory's offense is special.
They are. And you can't replicate it. I mean, those receivers are fantastic, and Stober is an animal. I think Hickory wins by a couple touchdowns.
Do you think you don't think Chris' defense slows him down?
No. I do not. I do not.
Nobody's slowing that offense down.
You think they're going to win the state championship?
I do.
Yeah, maybe.
Who do you think wins the state championship?
Maybe the Panthers.
The Franklin?
Of Dudley.
Oh, Dudley. Yeah, they're pretty good.
The D-Boys.
So, next up, let's talk about East Rutherfordton, who, of course, upset Reidsville last week at Brevard. These teams played on 9/20. Brevard wins 24-21. East Rutherfordton hasn't lost since. They're led by their quarterback, Landon Flynn. Against Reidsville, he was 18 of 31 for 250 yards and three touchdowns. Running back Pinkerton, this is against Brevard. Against Brevard, last time out, Pinkerton threw it for 250 yards, while Pinkerton rushed for 38 yards. They only rushed for 39 yards as a team. We talked about it earlier. They ran the ball against Reidsville.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, they've – how are they going to attack you? If I'm Brevard, I'm sitting there going, oh, God, you know. They slung it all over the yard against us last time, and then they ran it down Reidsville's throat. What do I need to prepare for? What is option A that I got to take away plan A and make them beat me with plan B? What is that? What is their plan A? And so, you know, it's going to be a battle.
So Brevard hasn't lost since 9-6 when they lost to Irwin. They had two quarterbacks combined for 184 yards and a touchdown. They rushed it. This is against East Rutherfordton. They rushed it for 185 yards, and Kessinger was 7 of 11 for 148 yards and a touchdown, and he rushed it six times for 51 yards and a touchdown. This could be the game of the week. Brevard, a 5.5-point favorite. Derek, what happens here?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't know. You know, East Rutherford, you know, those stats that you just gave, it throws caution to the wind if I'm the Brevard defensive coordinator. Like I said before,
sure.
I mean, you don't know what team's going to show up. And like I said earlier, also with Robbinsville and Murphy, it's so difficult to beat a team twice. I kind of like East Rutherford to win outright. Give me the Cavaliers. To cover the 5.5 and potentially win outright and go to the fourth round.
Who did Lewis take?
Lewis is taking the Blue Devils of Brevard.
I do not have a dot on. So I write all this stuff out. I put on the dot of who I think is going to, you know, win or cover. I do not have a dot. But the more I think about it, East Rutherfordton and their, they just beat the number one team.
Yeah, they're hot.
They're rolling.
Yeah.
I think Forest City wins this game. Pat?
Yeah, so I'm going to go against the grain here a little bit. Obviously, a huge win for those guys last week. But I think there's, you know, what you were talking about earlier in the podcast, Derek, this team didn't have a team 2 years ago, and they've obviously turned things around quite a bit. Brevard's been here before. This East Rutherford team just got a huge win over literally a world beater. Letdown.
Yeah.
Feeling the letdown coming on, and I think Brevard's going to get it done.
Yeah, it happens.
Carson?
Carson is also going to join me on the Brevard train.
Hmm. Okay. Okay. Do you think the winner of this game comes out of the West just to play the state championship?
You know, you still got Shelby that you got to go through. Yeah. So, I mean,
I can't help but go back to the Shelby game where they got, I mean, destroyed by Reynolds.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you got a special athlete in Max Gates back there, and, you know.
They threw the ball. They didn't even run it. It was through the air.
Well, that's true. But I think, you know, just like Reynolds schedules that game, Shelby schedules Reynolds to prepare for the playoffs as well. So I think, you know, a lot of adjustments happen. And you know, I don't think Shelby's the same team as they were.
2 years prior, Max Guest ran through the Shelby defense like it was nothing.
Yep.
So you're thinking Max is back, the defensive coordinator for Shelby in that game this year? You know he had to just sit there and dial in on nothing but Max, which potentially opens up that passing.
So interesting stat. No turnovers the last time Brevard played East Rutherford.
Yeah, I mean, turnovers in the playoffs are amplified. The momentum swings and the emotions of the game. If you can get Olmo on your side, you got a good chance. And, you know, like I said earlier, you know, once we're in the third round, anybody can win it. And it's all how the ball bounces. If you get a lucky break, you know, it takes a couple to make a special run. I mean, look at Reynolds in 09. I mean, they scored, you know, 15, 16 points in three games combined and went on to win a state championship. So,
didn't they play Dudley that year?
Dudley, R.J. Reynolds, and Dudley, Mount Tabor, and somebody else. I can't remember. But yeah, they only scored like 15 points and then, you know, won a state championship. So it's crazy.
Wow.
Playoffs are nuts. That's why we love it.
So last up, this is the first time all year, Pat, Reynolds has not made the last game.
No, that's a shame.
We went with Irwin as our last game. West Charlotte is traveling up to Leicester to play Irwin. Irwin, a 9.5-point underdog for West Charlotte. Their last loss was 10-10 to Huff, 40-14. They've won five in a row. Last week, they beat West Rowan 60-3. They're led by their sophomore quarterback. Last week against West Rowan.
There you go.
It's tough.
Phonics.
Sophomore quarterback Nichols, 13 of 16, 236 yards and two touchdowns. He also rushed it four times for 40 yards. They had five players rush for 262 yards total and six touchdowns. They put up some points last week. Let's talk. We talked about 8A a little earlier. Next year, West Charlotte will be 8A. Their ADMs, their total students, 2,392.
Mm.
For Irwin, they'll be 5A next year. They have 1,082 students. If you add Reynolds and Irwin together, well, they have 2,353, just 20 more than West Charlotte.
Wow.
Derek, could you make a pretty good team with Reynolds and Irwin?
Yeah, you probably could. Yeah, yeah, I think that's...
Max probably wouldn't be playing quarterback. He'd still be playing.
Yeah. Can you imagine Caden Engel and Max on the same team?
Oh,
boy.
Well, Reynolds thought they had that this year.
Well, you know, oof. Things happen.
So, listen, I'll go first. I'm going to take Irwin.
Whoa. No way.
That's a shocker.
Yes. Irwin. The tattoo's glowing.
I think Irwin wins this game. They're on fire right now. Their offense is rolling. Their defense stopped the run last week.
Yeah.
The question for Irwin for 100 years has been their defense. They played well last week. They didn't even have the ball, and they were able to hold Smoky Mountain. Irwin gets the win. They're on fire right now. Pat?
Yeah, so what stands out to me with this game is the conversation that you impromptu set up with Coach Pruitt for us the last time we had a podcast. And we were talking about just their size and their dominance on the offensive line. The Mountain football is what's going to be played up there. There's going to be some smash mouth. But you remember, we were talking about their offensive line, and Coach Pruitt was quick to point out they're big on both sides of that line
of scrimmage. Yes, they are.
And I think they're going to assert themselves defensively in that realm and win the battle on both sides in the trenches.
Who'd your boy Carson take?
Well, my boy, Carson.
When he refers to him as my boy, I can't help but laugh. Oh, my gosh.
Come here, boy.
Come here.
He's going with West Charlotte.
Of course he is.
Mm-hmm.
Derek, you or Lewis, whoever you want to
get. Yeah, so I'll go Lewis first. Lewis is taking Irwin. Lewis is riding with West North Carolina.
I know who Derek's taking.
He's taking Irwin.
Go ahead.
Coach Pruitt, I'm sorry.
They're around here good. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying that they're around here good, but it's hard to beat somebody that's got double your enrollment. And
no doubt about it.
The one thing that does kind of scare me away from picking West Charlotte is early offensive numbers against good teams. And Irwin is a good football team. So if Irwin can hang around, you know, I think they can keep it close and have a shot to win it in the end. But I got to go with my head here and take West Charlotte to win by a couple touchdowns.
Does weather play a factor? High 40 on Friday. Does that favor Irwin?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, the ball's slick. You know, those guys coming up the mountain, they've never played in anything like this before. And, you know, we'd always want to be as cold as it possibly can. And it gets cold over there in Irwin. It sure does. And we'll see. Like, I am pulling for Irwin. I am. Let the record show I am pulling for Irwin. I hope they win. But I am picking with my head and going with West Charlotte here.
Do you think this is a problem with reclassing every 4 years that you get these huge numbers against?
Yeah, I mean,
do you need to do it every two?
Then you got it. Yeah, I mean, it's a mess.
A nightmare.
Yeah, it's a mess. And you know, the Charlotte enrollment fluctuates so much anyway. You got guys going to the hot school, And you know, Charlotte's growing like crazy all the time. It's everything.
It's wild.
Is
how,
just
how big they're growing
and expanding to the surrounding counties. But yeah, I mean, it just, it's the nature of the beast. 2 years is just too often, and 4 years is not enough.
So is it 3 years?
Yeah, maybe it's right in the middle at three. Who knows? They don't put me in charge of those decisions.
That's going to be a good game. Some of us are going to be out there at the Irwin game, so looking forward to seeing that. I do want to go over one other thing here before Pat comes on, but they announced the NHSIAA.
NCISAA.
What did I say?
NH.
Whatever.
Hooked on Phonics.
The independent schools released their all-state teams. The private schools. And they separate theirs D1, D2. For Christ School, they had three guys make the all-state team. Offensive lineman Sam Browder, linebacker Jordan Edgecombe, and kicker Spencer Thompson. Obviously, the voting was before last week, and he missed the extra point.
Just kidding.
He had a fantastic year. For D2, Asheville School had four players: wide receiver Hazon Tobe, offensive lineman Liam Phillips, defensive lineman Xander Prosper, and DB Justin Rowe.
Yeah, congrats to those guys.
Yeah, good job. Congrats.
Yeah, fantastic.
If you're the we should have talked about this earlier. If you're the Asheville School offensive coordinator, Justin Rowe destroyed Christ School on every punt return, kick return.
Oh my.
Would you might put him as a possible running back?
I'd put him somewhere.
Goodness.
He was fast.
Get that guy the ball. Yeah.
He was big and fast.
And he could find where to go.
Oh. If they put him at running back, Asheville School probably wins his football game.
Probably so. You know, I mean, sometimes it's about the Jimmies and the Joes and not the X's and the O's.
Ooh. Anyway, there's your seven private school Asheville area schools to get All-State. So, Pat, what you got for us?
So, I remember last year when we started doing all the podcast stuff, we were talking to all the coaches. One of the big subjects that, you know, we got feedback on and we're talking with all the coaches about was recruiting. And now that we're through the football season, recruiting obviously for these players is going to be taking on, you know, another level for them. And having just gone through this with Brendan, it was definitely not the path or the road I expected and went down. I know I learned a ton on it, but I figured, you know, we've got Derek on here. He's a former high school coach, and, you know, some other people that are involved in this process. Maybe we could do some segments down the road talking a little bit more about recruiting. So, you know, recruiting and playing at the college level is definitely a big jump. And there's some stats, you know, that came up off the internet that just jumped off the page. And it looks like, you know, let's say you want to go pro in football. So only the top 8% of the top 1% of the top 1% of high school football players will make it to the NFL. So that's a very tiny number. And
what was that number again?
Well, it breaks down. So the way they had it on this article, 1,093,234 high school football players, 6.5% of that number will play any level of college, just 6.5% of that. And of that, only 1.6% of the college players. So 1.6% of the 6.5% mm-hmm. will play in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. They go on and to talk about the statistics on this article a little bit more. To take it, only one in 1,282 high school footballers will be drafted, considering the average high school football season is about 10 weeks and there are 50 to 60 players per team. The average high school player has a 50% chance of never even encountering playing with or against a future pro player during an entire season. That's crazy.
I played against a pro player.
Who?
Leonard Little.
Oh, wow.
He played for Asheville, then went on to play for the Rams.
Tennessee Vol.
Was a Vol as well.
Yeah.
Mm.
Freak.
I did not play in the NFL.
Nor did I. No, but I did play in college. So that was kind of cool. But yeah, anyway, what we're going to do, we're going to do just a couple of segments, I think, down the road. What we figure would be good is having Brendan come on. And talk about this journey to playing college football, what he did, how he did it, what was involved, what were his takeaways, what worked, what didn't work from the player's perspective. So we'll get that set up and record that. So if you guys got questions you think that you might like to hear Brendan answer, shoot those over on us on social media and I'll type him up and let Brendan have him so he can talk to him. But then we're also going to have a chance to talk with Coach Derek Green, and Derek's going to paint the picture a little bit from the coach's side of things, right, Derek?
Yeah, I can try. You know, I was never a head guy and never really truly involved per se. That's more of a head coach responsibility. But I did take recruits to visits. You know, I have chatted with some college coaches. A couple of my friends are Division I college coaches, so and a family member as well. But yeah, I can try and provide as much insight as possible.
So that'd be cool. And then I'm curious to see from your side, you know, what are the percentages of effort or responsibility in getting to that next level in your mind as a coach, from the player, from the parent, from the coach, and then what the college looks like. So if you can, any idea what that looks like?
Yeah. I mean, it starts with the relationship that the player and the high school coach have. They need to be 100% honest with each other and have a great relationship, because, you know, a coach is not going to stick his neck out for a kid that is a turd, for lack of a better word, in the classroom, in, you know, in the meeting rooms and on the practice field. Their reputation is at stake.
Exactly.
And I think that's where parents get frustrated, is they think little Johnny is the best thing since sliced bread, and whoever their head coach is should be going to bat for him all the time. Well, they're not going to go to bat for little Johnny if he's being a turd in class to his teachers, or being a turd to his teammates, because there's going to be that fringe kid that's 2 or 3 years down the road where he's on the verge of getting that D1 offer, getting that, you know, that preferred walk-on spot. And they're going to, those college coaches are going to come in there in the springtime, and they're going to say, hey, you know, Coach Laws, what do you think of Jimmy here? And Coach Laws is going to say, you know, he's not the best teammate. And his reputation is at stake with these college coaches, because they want the truth. And if he sticks his neck out for a kid that's a turd, they're not ever going to trust anything that he says down the road. So I think, you know, the kid has to be honest with the coach about what he wants. And also the kid has to be a phenomenal person, a phenomenal student, and a great teammate. So yeah, it's give and take. I don't think there's a true percentage. But I think parents oftentimes have the misconception that their kid is the only kid that matters. And it's not just that senior class. It's kids down the road that coach doesn't even know yet, that he's having to stick his neck out for on a daily basis and protect his reputation.
Very cool. What do you think, Mike? You got any thoughts?
I mean, that's difficult as a coach, knowing who you can stick your neck out for and who you can't. I mean, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. Really, to be that whole package of in the classroom, on the field, I would think it's pretty rare.
It is. I mean, look at the guys that have gone D1 around here in the last, you know, 10 years. It's few and far between, and it's few and far between for a reason, because they are special and they are built different, both mentally and physically.
Number one, you got to love the game. As a player, you have to absolutely look, because it's a semi-job at the high school level. It's a full-time job at the college level.
Yes, yeah. It is.
And it's a full-time job, and you got to figure out how to do your schoolwork as well without your mom and dad there prodding you to do it. So, I mean, it's tough. Yep. It's tough.
See, it's a rarefied air, no matter what level you go to. If you go to the next level, it's an amazing accomplishment that you got there.
Yeah.
And speaking of levels, there's obviously multiple. You've obviously got what we all know. The Power Four conferences, right?
That's where everybody goes.
That's where everybody goes. You got the Power Four conferences. What is it? The SEC, the ACC, the Big Ten, and who's the fourth one?
The Big 12.
Oh, the Big 12. 12, yeah. Duh. Okay, so those are the Big Four.
You also have the Pac-12 with two conferences, with two teams.
Indeed. Pac-12 with two teams. Yes, okay. So we got that. And the deal with that, and then you also have the G5, which is the next group down, but they're all still bowl eligible teams that can play for the national title. That'd be like your App States, your Old
Dominion. The SEC thinks those guys don't matter.
Indeed.
Go ahead, say it, Derek.
Well, I don't know what the SEC is anymore. They had every opportunity on Saturday.
I'm just kidding.
Now, that level of those two, if you get on one of those teams, it's either a scholarship that is 100% of everything, or you're a walk-on and you have nothing. Yeah. There's, you can't break up the scholarship at those, at that level.
So when we're talking about those schools, who are we talking about? Like a Boise State?
Yeah.
Yeah, an App State, Old Dominion, Coastal Carolina.
FBS, FCS, all those D1 guys, they can't split any type of scholarship. It's straight 85 across the board.
And then the next level down would be your Division I FCS. And that those people can break up their scholarships. Yeah. They can do partial scholarships and then do their walk-ons, that type of thing.
And who are we talking about in those guys? What are some schools that we would be familiar with?
Western Carolina is FCS. Furman.
Mercer.
Mercer.
Is that Eastern Kentucky as well?
Eastern Kentucky. They just made the playoffs. Woohoo! Go Colonels. They're going to go take on Villanova here on Saturday.
I like popcorn, but not the Colonels in the bottom of the bag.
Indeed.
Those are gross.
So the FCS, they can break up their scholarship, but they're still Division I level. And then after that, you go down to Division II, and they're able to, they have fewer scholarship dollars, but they're able to break it up like they can at the Division I FCS level. And then you get to Division III, which is non-scholarship.
That's like a Gaston College.
Yeah, that's your Division II example.
Guilford.
Yeah, Guilford's Division III.
Guilford's D3.
You're pretty much paying to go to those schools?
You are paying.
And a lot of them are the private schools, so they're not cheap to go to.
Yeah. Mars Hill's D2.
Yep, that's true.
Carson Newman, Catawba, Lenore Ryan, D2.
Lenore Ryan's like a powerhouse, right?
Oh, boy.
They were. I don't know so much anymore. I think the last guy left, Lenore Ryan, went to Mercer. I think they've been struggling a little bit.
I saw their facilities. I mean,
fantastic.
Oh, nice. Wow.
Whew.
Fantastic.
NAIA. Now, this is pretty cool. I mean, I was shocked at what I learned about NAIA. I was not part of the division of the NCAA. They're their own group. But they can give out scholarships, partial. Okay. But that's competitive football. And from what I gathered learning in that whole thing, it's like Division II ball. You know, Division II NCAA ball.
I would say a lot more guys choose to go NAIA as opposed to D3 because of the money.
Yeah, you can do well.
The same amount of dollars.
So who are we thinking about in those? Who are some of those guys?
The University of the Cumberland's up in Kentucky. I think Union College in Barberville, Kentucky is NAIA. Georgetown.
Pikeville,
yeah. They're NAIA.
You know, a local NAIA that, you know, doesn't play football, but Montreat is NAIA.
Gotcha, okay.
So and then the other terminology that'll come up. NIL, which I'm amazed at what's happened with that. That's the name and license agreement now that the college players can get paid now and what's going on in that.
So can the high school players.
Yeah, apparently so. And certainly, gosh.
That'll be fun.
And then the transfer portal, which has obviously had a humongous impact on high school recruiting. And
also available in high school.
Also. Yeah.
But you can't say it on the on the broadcast.
No, they got you in trouble. Pretty good time.
It's all alleged.
Oh, man.
So look for those segments. And if you've got questions, maybe we'll reach out and see if we can get some local high school coaches too to chime in on it and see if we can get segments with them too. But if there's other questions you have about recruiting, we'll see if we can get those answered for you. So chime in, send Mike a message, and you know, make fun of him while you do it too. You know, that's always helpful.
Thanks, Pat.
Yeah, you got it.
You want them to tell me how I'm a hater and I hate Reynolds?
Yeah, that would be great if they could just chime in and let Mike know exactly how much he and Lewis are haters.
I wonder if any of them know I'm a Reynolds grad. Like, I graduated from Reynolds. I played there.
I know. Probably several of them.
Maybe. It should be interesting. I'm looking forward to it, Pat.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
All right, well.
Is that it? We got nothing else?
I think that's all we got for this week.
Okay, well, until next week, this has been another iteration in the saga that is Behind the Beard WNC. Till next week, take care.
Love you guys.